our communal faith. Our communal faith. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. I'll read that portion again for you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. There is one God and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, the subject of oneness in the body has been greatly discussed in the recent past. The issue many times with this discussion of the oneness of a body is that it has been achieved, it has been spoken about in a oneness that is outside the oneness that the Bible describes. Listen to me. Every time the subject comes up of being one, many times when it comes to the discussions in the church on oneness, we're speaking about a oneness, but from outside a biblical version of oneness. And I'll speak what I mean. Now, on the ontological level, or the level of being, the level of reality, of essence, the body of Christ is one. If I can use the word nature or essence or being, the body of Christ is one. Okay? We are birthed into a body. You are born again into a body. An individual, a man, gets born again into the body of Christ. In other words, when you are born again, you are born into a one body. So, ideally, or essentially, or by essence, the body of Christ is one. You get what I'm trying to say? So, in other words, it's not going to look to be one. It is. Please follow me very, very carefully. Romans chapter, I'm going to read for you a number of verses so that you understand what I'm talking about. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So it's saying, as the body, physical body, has many parts or many members, even us, but all those members do not have the same functions. Even us, we are many, or though many, we are one body. One body in Christ, but individually members of one another. So listen to this. In other words, what Paul is talking about, that as different individuals in a church called a body, okay, different individuals get born again, they come into a one body, even though in that one body they have different functions. Now, however, the individuality is an individuality of the body. It's not an individuality which is separate and isolate someone so that they find themselves, but rather they find their definition in the one.
So listen to that. So, have you seen that? Remember, I've told you, by essence, by default, the body of Christ is one. What is our subject? Our common or our communal faith. The body of Christ is one. But Paul is telling us they're individuals, but they're individuals of the body. Now, they are individuals in function, not in identity. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body. For we all partake of the one bread. And of course, that bread was Christ, according to the context there in 1 Corinthians 10, 17. So whoever's eaten of that bread, becomes a member of his body. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Then he says, in verse 13, for in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all meant to drink in one spirit. Now, these Paul uses language of the Exodus to describe the birth of the church. The church is the new Israel. Then the first Israel was born through baptism in the sea. You say, now we are born or we are baptized into one body. This time, not by the water, but by one spirit. So, the Spirit of God identifies us in the body of Christ. Or the Spirit of God identifies us or births us into the body of Christ. Say amen. Colossians 3:15. Are you still there? The pastor told you find somewhere to write. Colossians 3:15. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. Be thankful. This one body Paul calls the church. Ephesians 1:22 and 23. He has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Ephesians 5:23. For as the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. See, I'm in the body of Christ. 1 Peter, Colossians 1:18. He is the head of the body, the church, is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he may be preeminent. 1 Peter 2:9-10. But you are chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own passion, that you may proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now are called God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now have received mercy. So as you can see, the church is fundamentally united. It is one. The church is born united. There is one church of Christ. Can you repeat that? There is one church of Christ. There is one body of Christ. So the problem is not the oneness of the body. Well, what is the problem? Well, the man of God already said there is a problem. That's why Jesus is not yet back. I would like to say there is a problem. That's why I'm here. If there was not a problem, I would have not moved 100 over something kilometers to be here. There is a problem. What is the problem? Ask your neighbor, what is the problem? The problem is in our perception and conduct in the body or of the body. The problem is our perception and or conduct in the one body. It is an awareness practice problem of the oneness of the body. Are we together? Now, there are two levels we're talking about oneness that are in view here, and we need to be familiar with. On the first level, which is the bigger level, the macro level, there is the global body of Christ. That is, every person anywhere in the world who names the name of Christ is in that body, and you are one with that person, wherever they may be, whatever denomination they may be. Hallelujah. You are one with that person who is in the global family of God. If Jesus is Lord and Savior to them, if God, the only God I've been singing, Yahweh is their God, that person is in that single, solitary body of Christ. That person is your brother. That person is your sister. Now, that relationship is so strong, it is stronger than the relationship with the person you come from the same womb with, your biological brother or your sister. Do you know why? Because that particular relationship is an eternal one. Amen. One time they came and told Jesus, your mother, your brothers and sisters are waiting for you outside. What did he say? What did he say? My brothers and sisters are the one? Yeah, you know, that whatever you've whispered. That one. Those were his brothers and sisters. Now, it's so sad. I'm coming. That we identify ourselves primarily with the name that is in front of our building where we meet on Sunday. And everybody who doesn't meet in that building is like animujwafe. Because it's better in Uganda. Whoever does not enter the building which has our name, which has a name on the building we use on Sunday, that person is. Sometimes we think they are worse than an infidel. The second level, which is a little bit micro, we're going to deal with a lot, is after that big level, the micro level is I belong to a local community of believers. Sometimes called a local church. Amen. Now again, a local church is not the one which is registered. A local church is a place where believers gather consistently in the name of the Lord. Or a fellowship. That assembly of believers, especially, we know here Uganda, majority of us do it on Sunday or any day. Even if you meet on Friday, but you meet every Friday and you have a community of believers who belong to that place and are accountable in there, and there is a leader who exercises pastoral duties, that becomes a local church. What is pastoral duties according to John? Oversight and feeding the flock. If a person is feeding the flock and is providing a shepherding role of oversight, John, that person is a pastor. Because a pastor is a function, not a title. Now, this secondary group is what I want to talk about in our communal faith, because there are violations we are doing in this, in the gathering, that are delaying some of the things God has spoken should happen. And sometimes we are frustrated and we think we need to do more prayer, but we need to organize our communal faith. So Some people say, I belong to a church. It's easy for somebody to say, I belong to a church. Or I call that place my church. But in all truthfulness, we do not belong there. We are just affiliated, though we like it. We don't define what it means to belong to that assembly. Amen. When we're talking about the oneness of this faith, there is a practical oneness that we must exercise that is missed many times in the assemblies. Remember, I said, ideally, or by the Spirit, or by the definition of biblically, the church is already in the functionality, in the exercise, in the perception, is where there is a gap in the oneness. And I'm going to show you how. If you go to the Bible, straight from the first page of the Bible, Yahweh introduces his plan for all mankind. In Genesis 1:26-28, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. It speaks about how it creates man or humankind, male and female. What many people miss is that the image of God is a corporate identity, much as the mandate of God is also corporate. God did not tell Adam, the man, you be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. God told man and woman. God didn't tell Adam only to be fruitful and multiply or to have dominion over the earthly created order. God gave that dominion mandate to the corporate identity, man, male and female. And at that time, Adam and Eve represented the household of God. Because that Adam and Eve was the seed from which the whole family of God was to come. Which family of God was humankind? Are you listening to me? So ideally, what we have in the beginning is God giving his plan, giving his mandate to our community. Hallelujah. Revival prayer night 2020. Are you with me? So he gave the mandate to man and woman, his image. If I had time, I was going to tell you what image means, but I don't. Now, he commanded them both to be fruitful, multiply, and exercise stewardship over his creation. This is quite instructive. This was a communal assignment, not to an individual. A few generations later, you come to a man known as Abraham, whom we all know. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, Yahweh calls Abraham. He says, now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to the land I will show you. In verse 2, he says, I'll make you, can we read together? I will make you, I don't like this one. Do you have ESV? This is King James. This one says, I'll make your name great. The proper rendering from the Hebrew is actually, I'll make you a great nation. I think even NIV should have something like that. Okay? God calls Abraham and then tells him, I'll make you a great nation. And I'll bless you and make your name great so that you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Can you see that? So God was interested in making the nation great, not the individual great. That has passed someone's ear. I'm going to say that again. God was interested in making the nation great, not the individual great. Abraham only represented the nation Israel. And when this promise goes on, it goes to Isaac, it goes to Jacob, and ends up with Israel. Hallelujah. We often miss it when we pursue or put individual greatness at the expense of the nation. Okay, better yet, we miss it when we put individual greatness at the expense of the church, at the expense of the community. You know, there may be someone here and you came tonight and you want to receive some kind of anointing to be great. I'm not mistaken. You want God to use you mightily. Do you know why? Many times you want God to use you mightily because there is some corruption of you wanting to be great. You. People to know you. The world to know you. For you to be great. Why do you want to be great? God wants the nation great, not the individual great. Uh-oh, it's not popular. If many times you had this mindset, some of the people who are praying would stop praying. Or, better yet, many of us will reform the motives of our prayer and we pray more rightly. Hallelujah. Say, God, make me a great nation. You go forward. So we have gone to Israel. But the nation that shall be great is in captivity. So God calls a man called Moses. And he gives him his plan. This is what he says. Exodus chapter 6 verse 6 to 8. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I'll bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I'll deliver you from slavery to them. And I'll redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I'll take you to be my people. I'll be your God. You shall know that I'm the Lord your God who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Verse 8. I'll bring you into a land I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I'll give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. So God goes to rescue his nation in honor of the promise he gave to their forefathers. Because again, God was interested in establishing his kingdom, his plan, through a community. Through a church. Through a group, not an individual. Hallelujah. The promise is in plural. It's not an individual promise. Why revival? Again, I said, go to that message I preached last year on stewarding the move of God. I explained what revival is. Why do we want revival? I'll tell you the truth. Because until Yahweh helps me, I am a product of some of, for lack of a better word, some of the perversion that has affected many of us. And we think it's fervency for the Lord. But many times we find that our motives have been corrupted. So we pray and we seek God. And we think we are praying and seeking God because we want to seek God's will. But really, we want our will. to be done in the name of God. We just want an opportunity to be great. For some of us, we just want to deal with our insecurities. You grew up, nobody believed in you. Everybody looked down on you. You say, "Kangene no nyemo kama." I don't take it. Nina kuma ongena baraga mafuta. So people, everything we are doing from a corrupted place. Oh, what a sad place to be. And then people grow up and they're like Naaman. The whole nation is bowing down to you, but one man is not. And it disturbs you so hard. You want to set a decree to annihilate a whole nation. Because there's an insecurity on the inside that you're using power to mask. So the promise, the call to greatness is to the nation. It's communal. Not individual. But Exodus chapter 19 verse 3 to 6. This is what Yahweh says to this group. After they have come to Sinai. Remember he said, "Go tell Pharaoh, let my people come into the wilderness so that they may worship me." Well, when he encountered Moses in Exodus chapter 3 at the mountain, Sinai, he told him, "You go, you bring the people here and they will worship." In other words, Moses was like a forerunner. He came, he met Yahweh in the burning bush, but Yahweh wanted him to go and bring a whole nation into that burning bush encounter. So that Moses will not be the only guy who talks to Yahweh. Another guy is waiting and saying, "I'm from the mountain. God gave me a word for you." At first. No! Yahweh told him, "Go get them here that they may worship me." The same way he worshipped Yahweh on the mountain, he is supposed to go and the whole nation is supposed to worship. You think we're lying? Exodus chapter 19, verse 3 to 6. Hallelujah! While Moses went up to God, the Lord called to him out of the mountain saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, keep my covenant, you shall be a treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine," caveat, "and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So Yahweh's invitation was that the whole nation of Israel will be a kingdom of priests. So Levi and Aaron's house is a concession by God because the nation rejected his offer. So it is an outlier. It was not the norm. Or it was not God's plan for a few people to have access to him on behalf of or at the expense of the others. Hallelujah. So, it is communal. It is communal. The invitation is communal. The invitation is for everyone. It's a whole group and not individual expressions. Everybody called to be a priest. Is that what you say? We are a royal priesthood. The chosen. We just read that in 1 Peter. Holy nation. The whole nation is holy. It's important. Prophets. Individual prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Moses, Obadiah. Ministry gifts, right? Men of God, right? What were they prophets for? They are prophets for the sake of the nation. They are prophets who are calling Israel to come back and walk in the covenant. Which covenant? That covenant whereby everybody is invited to be a priest. to speak to God, to see God. Are we together? This is the communal requirement. I'll tell you something amazing. In the Old Testament, listen to me. In the Old Testament, there was no individuality in identity. I'll say it again. People were identified by community and by family. Now, our generation, or this age, this postmodern age, identity is in individuals, right? Today you're saying, I am this, I am this, I am this. In the olden times, you are identified by where you stay and by your family. This is why in the Bible, an individual's issue had consequences for a family and a community. Remember, Achan took something which was not allowed, right? Remember that guy who took something which was not allowed? And whole Israel suffered. Remember that? So there would be punishment on the whole community for the sake of the sins of an individual. Now, this thing also continued in the New Testament. But we over-individualized the New Testament that we missed it. Hallelujah. We individualized the New Testament that we missed that there's still a corporate identity. The Church of God, even though it has individuals, it has a corporate mission. The New Testament too has a corporate identification. Do you see your Bible? What are the favorite parts of your Bible? They start from Romans, right? Right? What if I told you that Paul is writing his letters to a group of people, not one person? What if I told you that the letter to the Romans was a letter to the Romans, not to a Roman? What if I told you the letter to 1 Corinthians was the letter to the church at Corinth, not an individual believer at Corinth? I'll do you one better. In Revelation, there are these letters, right? The letters to how many churches? 7 churches, right? Remember how it says to the church at this, I say this. Do you know how he identifies the whole church? You have tolerated the woman Jezebel. But let me ask you a question. Did everybody in that church tolerate Jezebel? Was everybody in the church there tolerating Jezebel? No. But the actions of some individuals were put on the whole group. Because you have that communal identification. Hallelujah. You have what? A communal identification. Now, there are benefits of the communal faith. That's what I've been calling the communal faith. Leviticus 26:8. Five of you shall chase 100. 100 of you shall chase 10,000. You can continue the math. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. Matthew 18:19-20. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth as touching anything they ask for, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among you. This one was on legislation. But two people or three people could come together and exercise judgment, and heaven honors it. Don't joke with the power of our communal faith. Are you listening to me? the church in Acts. We're in the New Testament now. Jesus is going away. He says, tarry in Jerusalem until you be filled with power from on high. What happened before they were filled with power from on high? They were where? Where were they? They were in one accord, together, praying. Now they already bombed the church, but they were now exercising that oneness. What happened? The Spirit of God fell on them. They were born with the Holy Spirit, and they continued in oneness. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 and 33. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 and 33. The group of those who believed were of, let's read, Acts chapter 4, verse 32 and 33. The group of those who believed were of one heart and mind. This is now the exercise of the oneness I'm talking about. The practical oneness that we need. It's my subject, okay? In other words, the people who were unified in Christ, unified by the Spirit, born of God, now we are one heart and mind. What proceeds from that? He says, no one said that any of his possessions was his own, but everything was held in common. Again, what's the fruit of that? The fruit is, with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was on them all. Guess what? We want to start from the end. We want great power. Right? We want great grace. Meanwhile, everybody comes to church and they are seeking their own. Father, use me. Let me be. What do you mean by let me be the most anointed? Relative to who? Where have you seen comparatives in the Bible? Tell me, the biggest church, the anointedest. Relative to who? In comparison, who? Don't you see where the problem is? So now Pastor David is also going to go and seek to be deeper than me. Say, hey, I've only day. Hurry. But I need to be quiet. Relative to who? You're going to start to complain. You know me, I don't talk. I just show power. Oh God, where did you get the power? Are you a witch doctor? Which spirit are you using for the power? Isn't it the same spirit in the message, in the preaching? Isn't it the same spirit that the worshiper is using? Isn't it the same spirit that the one who is giving is using? Because this is what Paul taught from the same spirit. Some is distributing this, distributing, giving faith, workings of miracles. All this worketh one and the self same spirit. Distributing to every man as he will. Now, why is the one whom it has been distributed to by a spirit who wills taking credit for the distribution which the spirit is working through him? You have lost the function of the body. Remember where we started from. We are one body, but one body individually. Different members with different functions, but the functions are individualized in the body, because it is only a function in the body if it is working on the body. And it's working on the body and together with the rest of the body. If they cut off your hand off the body, the hand has no function when it is not connected to the body. I hope you know that. And Paul tried to illustrate that. But if you are not careful, we are teaching individualism in church. I'm sorry to say this may disappoint some people. But someone say, we say things like, seek your God. Okay, what's the difference between your God and my God? Sir, we come to church to pray together, but we are praying individually. Hello? You came to gather for a prayer meeting, but you're praying individually. Why not pray at home? Uh-oh. It's a good stuff now. We're supposed to come together in one accord, with one mind, with one heart. We are praying the same thing. That's the power of corporate prayer. I'm going to talk about it in a moment. In something we miss in Mark 11:24. Again, we make it individual. I'll show you something. You love it. Unless you're tired. Are you listening to me, guys? If the wind is going to flow from here back to central, it must be a wind of unity. It cannot be, the other church light is something, they don't have what we have here. The God who is here. Many of us look at other Christians as less. There's some bad manners which has been imputed in our minds. People think people who don't follow their pastors don't know God. Or they don't have God. Or there is no God there. Because God only works through our man of God, Apostle Bumba. Hello? There may be someone here, you have not listened to anyone else. You have your person. When the worshiper is here leading, you don't pay attention. You just do all things, you walk around. You walk around with a fake show of spirituality. With your empty pants. You came to a revival prayer night, but you have isolated yourself because you don't understand the oneness. Everybody else is shallow, you are the one who is deep. Hello, sir, can we give you a seat? Go one on Yamukama, Watanikan Moses, Banavato, Bachariwan, Maji, Femukama, Gwaturagi. Some people have created these things in their imaginations and they have made them experiences. But if I ask yourself, how sure are you? Are you really sure that was God? Or was it God? That God who is talking to you while you're dishonoring his body can't be God. Bila. You cannot dishonor the body and see God. You saw something else. You just don't know that in the spiritual realm there are many spirits. And there are many familiar spirits. And sometimes there are spirits we create for ourselves. Sometimes I see people. There are some people who say they have experiences. But if I quiz them about that experience, they'll realize it wasn't. There is, again, like I said, we are looking for great grace, great power, while dishonoring being in common. I wish you knew the power that works in a community of believers. Now, again, I'm saying, not just when a group of believers have come together. I mean, they have not only come together, they are together. Did you see the disciples? They did not just come together. They were one what? One mind and one what? One. Imagine we all came this evening, the way we are here. 1. Let's say we have come to pray for Eastern Uganda. 1. I've come to pray for Iganga. 1. I've come to pray for the move of God here. All of us. And they say, guys, let's stand up. We are going to pray for the move of God in Iganga. And when we stand up, some people don't stand up and go to the toilet. Some people don't stand up and they start pressing their phone. Let me tell you, this is why we are not seeing authentic power of God. Many times, because there is a division in the oneness. Hallelujah! You can keep saying revival, 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 revival. Meanwhile, you keep neglecting what created the biggest move of God, the greatest, the move of God we know that led to the world evangelization in the book of Acts was birthed from 120 people in one accord. And it spread because those people remained in one. Then things like liberality, giving, they spread from that one accord. These days it is hard to give. You know why? To give to other people. You know why? Because if you want to be the richest person in your church, chances are high you're not going to help the poor. Did you know that? Like, because if you want to be the richest, some people have to be poor. You get the logic, eh? You have to be the smartest. They must say, God is working in that brother. Which means a sister with a torn dress or a brother with a torn trouser, you won't help. You know why? Because then you will also be smart and we'll all be the same. And you can't have that. They must say, I want the God of Pastor David. You get it? Eh? Hey. So, there must be that kind of gradient. So many times we establish that gradient by being stingy. People leave car. You leave a church with your car and other people walked there and you're not giving anyone a lift. The car is empty. But what do? You sit in the car and put your first sign and speak in tongues. You are joking. It's a joke. That's it. You're speaking. Sheila, Nathaniel Bassi. You have blessed me. You're not blessed. You can't be. Because when Abraham was called blessed, and the nations said, other nations and the families of the earth shall be blessed through. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, how many people are blessed through you? Ask them. Folks, start with their church. Is anybody in your church blessed because of you? Look at this. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him, let's go to this one. Look at this. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Are we there? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Guys, guess what? Do you know that this scripture is speaking about plural? It's not singular. Listen, in other words, this was not an individual confession. Paul is saying, now to Jesus, who is able to do far more abundantly, according to all that we, community, ask or think, according to the power which is at work, not within the individual, but within the church, our communal faith. Within the body, there is great power at work. The power is at work in the corporate
group. See, we must carry this mindset when we gather. Think about it like a jigsaw. You know a puzzle? Those puzzles we played as young children, where you keep moving the pieces. Anybody play those puzzles? Now think about this. This is Paul's analogy. Paul is saying, when the church gathers together, it's as though those different pieces come to complete the puzzle of the picture of God. Now that picture is only complete when all those pieces are there. So, remember, the issue is not a oneness of essence. The issue is a oneness of operation. So, when we come together, we must all be present, both physically and in participation. Did you hear what I said? When you come to a meeting, you must participate, because as the individual, there's something you're adding to complete the body. There are no useless body parts. Amen. How many of you have ever had a toothache? I haven't, but people who have say it is very painful. Now imagine something which is hidden in your mouth. Cause discomfort to the whole body. Hallelujah. So, the parts must participate. If it is worship, together. If it is scripture reading, together. If it is service, together. If it's prayer, together. Praying together means if we touch a prayer point, we all pray that prayer point together. That's how it supply power. Let me show you something. How many of you know that Mark 11:23? It's a very popular text, right? Mark 11:23-24. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou moved, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, shall have whatsoever he saith. Then 24 is also a favorite of people. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you have received them and you shall have them. Get this. This is where I'll end. You will love this. Listen to me very carefully. Did you know that the background of that story is this? Jesus comes into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday. And then, Mark says something very strange. Jesus came into Jerusalem and he first goes to the temple. There's a brief line there in Mark. He went to the temple. He looked around and he left. The next day as he was walking, he found a fig tree which had leaves but no fruit. But then Matthew adds, but it was not the time of figs. So Jesus said, no man eat fruit of you from now on. Okay? So no man eat fruit from you from this tree from now on. And the disciples had it, the Matthew account. So the next day when they walked, Peter said, Master, the fig tree which thou cast has withered. So Mark jumps that story. No. Before the morrow, Mark comes from the fig tree and then they go to the temple again. So Jesus walks to the temple and he finds money changers and all these guys. You know what happens? He clears them. Right? So that story is there. Then they bring back the fig tree the next day. They say, okay, the tree which you cast has now withered. What did he say? Now I know King James says, have faith in God. For sure did I say to you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou moved, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he shall have what he says. So, a question came up. What is the relationship between the fig tree and the temple? And back to the fig tree. And then faith. And then prayer. But,
25 says, give me 25. But if you have an issue with someone, this, and whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So, how are all these things related? Or, is there any kind of relationship? Why would Jesus tell a tree which has no right to have food, let no man eat of you? Because the scripture says it was not time for figs, but it was leafy. Now get this. I don't have time to give you all the text. The prophets had written and had related Israel to a fig tree. Right? Now, the temple also represented a certain order. But that order had become corrupted. It had become corrupted. That the house which is supposed to be a house of prayer is now having exchange. So this is why the writer of Mark is going to put these two stories together. On one hand, a fig tree that represents Israel is being cursed because it has leaves but no food. A temple which is supposed to represent a place where Yahweh and his people commune is no longer having that communion. Instead, it is having exchange of goods. So both receive judgment. But they receive judgment, and in that same breath, Jesus said, but when you have faith in God, you will exercise this. Okay? There is a power which will come with you having faith in God, but also, when you have that power, verse 22. Let's put verse 22. See, King James doesn't bring out these tenses. Well, I want to talk about the tenses which are here in the Greek. Okay? Verse 22 is plural in the Greek. In other words, it's saying, all of you have faith of God. Then, verse 23 is the one which is in singular, but the singular which is used there is for whosoever, meaning it is an open invitation. Then 23 and 24 are talking to a group of people. When he says 24, when, put 24, I tell you, whatever you ask the youth there, I think kingdom should have yea. Whatever you corporately ask in prayer, believe that you receive it and it shall be yours. In other words, the responsibility which was supposed to be in the temple is now going to be had by a community of believers to exercise the faith of God, whereby when they come together and agree pertaining, they have them. But in that place of oneness and unity, it is so important that if we have issues between each other, we forgive each other, because now that can affect this oneness and the corporate power we have in our communal faith. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's why somewhere Jesus says, if you realize you have gone to offer something, and then when you reach the altar, you realize you have an issue there, first leave it, go settle. Because people don't know that it is very important between me and you that we are one, if we are going to establish the will of God. Guys, don't fall for this trap that seeks to divide us. Seeks to divide us along names. Seeks to divide us along English and those who don't speak English. Seeks to divide us among those who have and have not. The devil knows that when these individuals come together to form the body and every part and every function is coming together, there is such a great power that will bring that wind which you want to come from the east into central has to be in unity, man of God. I conclude. Individualism has greatly affected the church. Isn't it surprising? The church, the present church today, we have the most resources, but we are the least satisfied. We are the least persecuted, but the least impactful. Now more than ever, we have the most access, the most information, but with the most emptiness. Do you know what the difference is? The difference is the individualism now is way much more than it has ever been. And Yahweh just sent me by His grace to just remind us not to abandon our communal faith. We need each other. We need each other. We stand as one. Are you listening to me? Forget our small petty issues. One of the things which is going to help us to know that God has gifted people differently. Not as a comparison, it's the gift giver. If you want to have an issue, have an issue with the gift giver, not the one who has received the gift. Don't compare yourself. Honor each other.